welcome to The Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Kelvin and Rob, and if you're joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. Rob, how you doing?
I'm tired. I'm fucking tired.
Me too.
Fucking tired. Yeah. Great time.
Jesus.
Great times, bro.
How do people do it? How do people do it, man? I'm exhausted.
I don't know. We're here, though. We're here. We did it. We made it to Friday. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. Love it. Love to see it.
We're kind of short on news today, huh?
It's an odd day. You know, there's not much going on, which is fine.
That's okay. We love those days.
It just gives us more time to space out the conversations, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you first. I know I'm not hosting, but are you playing anything cool? Because I have some stuff I'm playing.
What do you mean? Aren't you playing Final Fantasy VII? That's all you play? Yeah. That's it?
No, but did you play the Peach demo?
No.
Played that right before I got on.
I like that. All right. So you played the Peach demo. Before you get into Peach demo, though, I want to talk about Final Fantasy VII again, because...
That's what we talk about. Yep.
All I want to say is Queen's Blood needs to be
an actual game.
Adopted into a natural, like actual game. Because holy shit, man. I spent last night almost 2 hours just playing Queen's Blood.
But
two hours of my time being used to win,
or like you kept losing and it took you that long to beat the people.
All right. You don't have to get into specifics. All I'm saying is I'm playing Queen's Blood for at least 2 hours, and I had a blast. Yes, I lost numerous times, but man, there were some enemies I'm like cheating. Like, you're just completely cheating, dude. And that brings me to my next conversation here. Chad, I hate him.
Lee.
I do not like him. He's not. I don't know. I don't trust him. He has vibes of I'm going to backstab you somehow. And his whole aura just kind of pisses me off. He's doing, and I appreciate him. But every single time when you find these, you know, whatever he wants you to find, these towers and these lakes or whatever, right? He always has to hit you up. Dude, stop hitting me up, dude. I don't want to talk to you. And you don't give me any conversation that I need. There's no great information that you bring to the table every time you hit me up.
I mean, he's giving you information about the land and about specific things about the land. He wasn't in the original game. So.
Oh, he wasn't.
He was not in the original game. No, this is a new
edition. It makes me hate him even more. Why is he here? You know?
So you could do the side quest. They're basically, in a way, he's the side quest master.
He is.
But I do like the side quests in this game way more than
16.
Final Fantasy 16. I think they do a better job. 100%.
They're way better than Remake, in my opinion.
Yes, because Remake was so scaled down. Now it's just explore the world.
Like fetch questy.
Yeah, different. It's there's like mini games, right? When you scan the formation, the rock formations, right?
That's another thing. The mini games are absurd in this. There's so many mini games in this game. I'm here for the ride. I'm just here for the ride and I'm enjoying them. But I'm just damn, how many mini games can you just pack into one game?
There's a lot.
All right, whatever.
I mean, to be fair, the original also had a decent amount of mini games in it as well. You're just going to. Yeah, you didn't know that about Final Fantasy VII, did you? There's mini games.
There's a lot of mini games, and it's fun. Some of them are a little better than others, but
right.
They bring it into the main story so well that you almost forget that it's a mini game because it's is this part of the story? What's going on? But it's in fact the mini game that is gonna progress you to the story. Which, you know what I mean? So. It's just a ride, you know.
They did a good job. They do a good job breaking up the monotony of things too. So,
So Rob, tell us about Princess Peach.
Princess Peach is very good. I only played for about 15 minutes.
Showtime.
So the beginning of it, I was kind of this is kind of whack because you get this spell. Or you just swirl around and you light things up and that's your attack. And I was this is stupid. Right. Then you get your first ribbon. That's what they call them. Like, I guess they're called ribbons. And I got the sword fighter one. That's when it got dope.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, it was fun. I was having a good time. So,
did you beat
frame,
it?
No, I didn't beat the demo yet, but the frame rate was like really bad in the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, what is going on? And then as I played the game, it got better. So I don't know how that works. Like certain parts were acting. So it definitely showed, the Switch showed its age playing the beginning of that game.
Interesting. And is it like a graphic heavy title? Like I don't remember it being
super
like
graphic heavy. It was just weird the way, like it's definitely a different type of Mario game. Right. But it was fun. I had a good time playing it. So you should definitely download it, and it's going to take 2 seconds to be the demo. I think it's literally like a 15-minute demo tops. So,
Peach, but I just want to, one of my favorite Smash Brothers characters.
Really?
I use her. You know that.
Peachy. Like Peachy. There's this part in the demo where when she's a sword fighter, she says "on guard," like an "on guard."
Yeah.
It sounds like she's saying "on God," which, and it's adorable. She's like, "Oh God, oh God."
That's awesome. I love that.
That's great.
I'm gonna play it this weekend for sure. Probably not tonight because I'm gonna pass the fuck out when we finish this, man. I'm exhausted. But Rob, we got news to talk about
before we hit the news, though.
Oh,
let's go. Just want to show you one last thing.
Oh, are you gonna show me
this weekend? Okay. Yeah, my dad asked me if I wanted these things, and it was a bag. And I'll show you the bag, and Kevin can tell you what's on the bag. It is a old ass PlayStation 1 bag.
Whoa! Look at that. You got the old PlayStation logo right there. Look at that.
Okay, so you're wondering what is in this bag. It's not a PlayStation.
It looks like a lunch bag.
Yeah, it's not. I guess it was used to carry PS1s, like the really small version, the mini one.
The mini one, PlayStation 1 Mini.
But in the bag was a
PlayStation 1 Mini.
Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Game Boy Advance.
Is this yours?
I don't think it is because I don't remember this, but this one was mine.
Oh, the lime green. Look at that. That is blinding.
Oh, yeah. It is, and you can't even see.
You can never lose that thing. It works.
Yep. Look at that. It's a Donald Duck game. Ubisoft.
Ooh,
that was nice. That's an old logo. Disney Interactive.
Oh my God, Disney Interactive.
And we're playing the game. Oh my God, there's cutscenes. There was cutscenes. This is the game.
Yeah, look at that.
Very cool.
It's adorable. And then,
if you can't see, right, back in the day with these Game Boys, you couldn't see anything.
You had it. You got it.
You couldn't see anything, right? So you had to get the, I don't even know how this goes on.
The dimmer.
The dimmer?
The lighter? The dim lighter? The, what is it
called? I don't think this actually, I think that I don't have the right fit. I think this actually goes on the Game Boy Advance. What the hell?
Oh, really?
Maybe. Maybe this goes on the Game Boy Advance? Let me see. Hold on. Let's see if this goes on the Game Boy Advance, guys. Thank you for bearing with me. Yup. This is 100% for the Game Boy Advance.
And it still lights up.
There's no batteries in it. But I thought this was a Game Boy one. But still,
yeah.
The fact that they need light.
Nonetheless, it looks nice. That's crazy that we did that. Like we had this light bulb just like dangling across. Like, geez, man. That brought back memories.
There's a lot of games that came with it. I got a Godzilla game.
Okay.
There's a Rugrats game. You probably had this game.
Ooh. Nice.
The Rugrats game. We got a Yu-Gi-Oh game.
Nice. So, I think I remember that one.
Wait. You ready for this, Kelv? This game right here? You ready?
I'm scared. I can't see. Rob.
tell
Bob
who this is.
Bob the Builder.
The Builder. Can he fix it? And then, wait. This is the even better.
Please stop. What is this? What is that?
NSYNC.
Vincent? NSYNC?
NSYNC.
Who made that?
Oh my goodness. All right. I'll show you two more games.
Okay.
And then we're done. And then we're done. All right. We have this one, which was a bop.
Aladdin. Oh yeah. That is a classic right there. Yep.
And then the last one is
Stuart Little. Activision, man. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Activision. Holy shit. Wow, man. So where did he find this?
I guess he just found it in my uncle's like storage unit or something. And it's they're a little beat up. But
it's probably like your cousins or something.
Yeah. They're beat up. Like the Game Boys are a little beat up, but I'm gonna repair them and fix them up and make them pretty much like brand new. So okay. Little projects for me. But yeah, and there's just so much treasure in there. There's just so much little treasure.
Dude, I remember all those things. Like at some point I had all those things. It's crazy.
So a little bit of a nostalgia trip.
Love it. You love to see it. Rob, let's get into the Daily Duo news. Daily Duo, get your Daily Duo over here.
The Daily Duo.
Speaking of Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is the second best-selling PS5 game in Japan. As reported by Famitsu, the game sold 262,656 copies in its first week, dominating the Japanese physical charts and outselling the second-place game Mario vs. Donkey Kong by more than 18 times. However, it failed to beat the first week physical Japanese sales of Final Fantasy 16, which sold 336,027 copies when it was released back in June of 2023. So, Rob, it did not beat Final Fantasy 16. Final Fantasy 16, man. Everyone talks shit about it, you know? Everyone is always talking shit about Final Fantasy 16. And look at you guys now. How do you guys feel, you know?
To be fair, I feel like, not saying they didn't go hard on Final Fantasy Rebirth marketing, because they did.
They did.
They did. But I feel like they went insanely hard with 16's marketing when that game came out, especially in Japan. I feel like that game was probably everywhere in Japan. That's what I could think. And then again, I guess they both had playable demos.
So that was going to be my question. Why do you think that was the case? Why do you think Final Fantasy 16 ended up selling more copies, and it seems to be more, I wouldn't say fan favorite, but just selling more copies in Japan at least. You're saying the marketing had something to do with it, obviously, but anything else you think? I mean, Final Fantasy VII has that nostalgia feel for it, right? It has that like that catalog. It's been here for years, right? It's kind of like it pivoted. It made Final Fantasy what Final Fantasy is today. So Final Fantasy XVI kind of selling more than that, to me it seems a little odd.
There's only two things I can think of. They say physical copies, right?
Correct.
So
correct.
We don't know if digitally Rebirth, if it just sold better. So that's a big thing. And obviously that was a few months ago, so maybe digital sales have increased. The other thing is that Rebirth is part of a trilogy, right? And you kind of need to play the first one. So there's a rougher point of entry. Not saying that you don't need to play the first one. You kind of need to play the first one to know what's exactly going on. Remake. Where 16, you just kind of just start anywhere, right? Because it's just the next iteration. So I think point of entry wise, 16 is just easier to get into.
Agreed. That and also the way, like you said, marketing wise, they definitely marketed this game as more just user friendly in a sense, right? Or it just seemed more less Final Fantasy, right? It just seemed more like, hey, like you guys can definitely get into this game. Like anybody that plays games or anybody that likes RPGs can get into this game, as opposed to Final Fantasy VII, where it's a little bit more, you know, like you need to be a fan of Final Fantasy to like really enjoy this sometimes, you know. So that could be also one of the reasons. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm surprised a little bit based off of that, but based off of what you said, it kind of makes sense too, you know.
Yeah, too. I think people also, a big group of people also might wait for like the whole trilogy to come out.
Yeah.
And then as a whole trilogy, play the whole entire trilogy in one go. That's obviously not going to be us playing them as we go, but
you need patience for that.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of weird. It is very strange. And if anyone has any thoughts as to why that might be a thing, why is that?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating. But again, Final Fantasy 16, amazing game. Final Fantasy 7 is amazing as well. And they're doing pretty good. Also, I remember like Square Enix mentioning how it didn't, there was controversy saying like it didn't really meet expectations, but it actually ended up meeting expectations. I don't know. This seems pretty good for the first week, 336,000 copies for like, you know, 16. It's not bad.
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, you look at the next non Final Fantasy game on that list and Armored Core 6 is 115. So it's Final Fantasy 16 is more than double what Armored Core, way more. Yeah. Triple of what Armored Core did. So that just goes to show you how big of a brand Final Fantasy is over there.
100%. Interesting. Let's move on to the next topic here. Spider-Man 2 has a new update, potentially showing off DLC. The version 1.002.000 update, which went live today, adds a new game plus, which includes new features, including the ability to go beyond the game base, beyond the base game level cap, unlocking new symbiotes, suits, styles, and upgrade gadgets with golden styles. However, players soon discovered that it also unlocked access to the game's debug menu, which are used during developments to skip to certain parts of the game, perform diagnostics, and turn on various modifications. Some players are also suggesting that the debug menu list missions, which aren't in the game and could be DLC relating to a separate character who hasn't yet been in the game, Beetle. In Spider-Man comics, Beetle is a villain who's also the daughter of Tombstone, a character who already is featured in the game. What do you think, Rob? DLC coming soon?
I can take that one with a huge grain of salt. Yep, 100%. Just because it sounds so sketchy, weird. Yeah, it sounds weird, but I like the new symbiote suits. I want to try that. I actually didn't know this update was coming today, so just another thing to add to the list of things to just like go in Spider-Man real quick. Yeah. Right. So maybe when I'm like playing Final Fantasy VII Remake tonight or Rebirth, I might like go into Spider-Man real quick and see what's going on. Just to check it out.
I am excited for the thought of having DLC for Spider-Man 2, because I think Spider-Man 2 deserves one last like hurrah, like one last push. Right. For sure. And if they can make a really pretty cool DLC and include, you know, it looks like if this is to be true, right, obviously take it with a huge grain of salt, but Beetle as a villain would be really cool to just see how that turns out and how Insomniac can kind of like build that character into their new, you know, world, right? But it's interesting. Like I wouldn't mind seeing a DLC maybe for September, you know, and just kind of $30 giving us like a few 5-6 hour gameplay, like just going back into that world. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, at first when I read Beetle, I thought they were thinking of Blue Beetle, and that's a character, but that's DC. That's DC. Yeah.
Fun times. But we'll see. Again, take it with a huge grain of salt. Let's take a break here. If you guys are enjoying this episode so far, rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Drop a review and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duo community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are built through gaming. We cannot stress enough, guys. Please rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Helps us out tremendously. And it would mean the world to us if you give us a little review there. Appreciate that. I want to throw in here as well, guys. We are going to PAX 2024. A few more weeks. I think 2 more weeks, right? So stay tuned for that. We'll be giving you guys a lot of content there. Interviewing a lot of devs there. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to be joining up with some friends. If you are in the vicinity, please say hello.
Say hi. Say hi, guys. We actually just got our passes. I don't know if you saw on our email. We got passes.
Wait, what? Yeah. We did?
They're not the physical passes. They're like a scan code
passes. Order confirmation. There you go. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. So we got it. There we go. So we just say, hey, that's it. Oh, or I think it's like a will call. I think we have to like go into the venue and then they'll give us our passes. That's how that works. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Because the media passes, we have to like, gotta go and you know, flash it around.
Cool.
So we will be interviewing devs. We'll be walking around the show floor. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be tired. I know that. We're going to be exhausted by the end of it, but.
And this is the first time we're actually going to be there for 2 days, right? 2 days worth of content.
3 days
worth of content, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
So usually in the past, we've only been one day, right? And then we would just leave, but we're going to be there for three days. So that's going to be a game changer for us, you know, and obviously having the passes like that was huge for us this year. So I'm just happy that we're able to, you know, attend PAX again and really get as much out of it as we can this year for sure. Let's move on to the last news here. Rob, we kind of discussed this a little bit, but Princess Peach Showtime demo is out now. In the free demo of the single-player action game, players can experience the sword fighter Peach and Patissier Peach transformation.
Patissier.
The company said in the announcement, swing, strike, dodge, and counterattacks as sword fighter Peach and cut across an action-packed stage. Then get ready to whip out an array of delectable deserts to prevent the sweet festivals from experiencing a serious sugar crash. So, Rob, you already gave us a little bit of what your thoughts were on Peach Showtime. I'm going to definitely try this out and see how this game turns out. I've been hearing a lot from reviews and just like listening to other people talk about it. It seems very dedicated for kids, obviously Nintendo based, right? But it just seems very casual and kind of like there's no difficulty for us adults. Is that true?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's not really a hard game at all. I was breezing through it. But it's a well-crafted game, I will say. It is fun, right? Even though it is super easy and it's for kids, it is a fun game. I was having fun. Just again, the mechanic is like, I actually couldn't believe how easy the dodging was and counterattack was. I was like, oh, I just press B as soon as they attack me. But like, you're so used to like games where like you have to be a precise exactly when their sword hits your whatever, and then you dodge it. And this game is like, yeah, if you're around the window of it, then we'll give it to you. So, but it's good. It's a good experience. I think if I was a kid, I would love this game. Right. As an adult, still have fun. I'm not gonna lie. You know.
Now this doesn't have any like multiplayer or co-op or anything like that, right? I don't think so.
Not that I saw. No, I didn't get to play as Pastory Peach. I only did the sword fighter. So I'm at the boss. So there are bosses.
It's cool. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think you're going to get this game, right? We talked about it before. Like, oh, I'm going to get this. And probably not.
No, I'm not going to get it now. Actually playing the demo made me like not want to get it as much. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? So
Yeah, man. I hear that. Guys, that's it. That's all we got today. Short and
sweet. Wrapping up this week. I was going to say, let me just check and see. Make sure there's nothing left news-wise, because you never know. You never know. Things pop up late at night. You know? Things that pop up late at night. You know, Phil Spencer got fired from Xbox. Just kidding.
Holy shit. No.
No. No, I don't see anything on here. I think that's it for the week, unless something happens crazy during the day on Friday, which is today. But yeah, I am excited to finish that book.
Are you almost done?
Yeah, I'm like 78%.
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels?
Yeah, 78%. I just finished Shovel Knight. I'm on the Destiny chapter. And the Shovel Knight one was actually really, really fun. That was a good chapter. Okay. So
good. I want to see. I think Uncharted is in this one as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, so that would be interesting. That one's in that. That was a good one. So they're all good. But very good book, guys. Blood, Sweat, and Pixels.
Awesome. Guys, big shout out and thank you to all of our listeners. Again, make sure to review, share, like, subscribe, and get notified on all of our content heading your way. We'll be back next week for your gaming news. Until next time.
Good night.